Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Raptors back in action on the road against New Orleans Pelicans tonight, 8 p.m. staggered starts. You can watch the little Leafs. You can split screen it with little Raptors to finish your night. And our insiders on the line, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Always a pleasure when we get to talk to Will Liu, host of the Raptors show. How's it going, Will?
What's going on?
Yo, how about Serge Ibaka, eh? He just continues to create content for us. How hungry are you? It's like we just get a clip and then we get a content day for us. He won't get us out of his mind, eh?
Yeah, I mean, Serge really has a willingness to make content. obviously, he's so charismatic. You know, it really helps. Being handsome also really helps. Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
You said it.
I mean, come on, everyone knows. And then willing to ask the tough questions. Like, there's no way, you know, you and I could sit down with Fred VanVleet and just ask him, hey, would you trade your teammate for Kevin Durant? Even though I think we all wish we could. Mm-hmm. But Serge just kind of has that, you know, charismatic nature about him. And he just goes ahead and said it. And you know what? Shout out to Fred for lying on that one
and
saying no.
Right? He did lie. It was right. You
a
saw
little
it
hesitation,
in,
though.
I mean, he's my teammate. It's like, well, that means, yeah, you would trade him.
Yeah. But, you know, listen, that's a tough question, though. That's a tough question. So I appreciate Serge's journalism on that one.
Who do you want to see on How Hungry Are You? Like, who would you want in that spotlight to have to answer the tough questions?
I kind of want to see Masai on there.
Ooh. Would he ever
you
do
know?
That?
I mean, I don't think Masai would ever do it, but I think, and Serge should ask him questions specifically about himself, because I think he would probably want some of those answers. Like, did you not bring him back because you thought you could chase Giannis? Because I think that was probably one of the bigger things. I mean, look, I think the Raptors did move on from Serge as a basketball perspective at the right time. In the moment, it didn't feel like it because we didn't want to say goodbye to any of those guys that the Raptors won the 2019 championship with. But the timing was good to let him walk. At the same time, though, I think it did coincide with Toronto's, you know, big pursuit back then.
Mm-hmm. Okay, speaking of content, you always put out a great post-game reaction pod, which we listen to mostly on our morning drives into the studio. How do you recall every single moment and play to the finest details? Are you writing in a notebook?
Yeah, what's the secret here?
How do you do this? Because it's so inspiring. It's like I can visualize it while I'm on the road. Yes. Oh, yeah. And then there's the exact timing of it. Like, it's very articulate.
Wow. Thank you. I think for me, yes, I do take notes. But I think it's also just like it was very fresh in my mind because I always like pay a ton of attention during the game. And so there's just a couple of plays that really do stand out more than anything else. Mostly I'm trying to like capture some of the bigger plays that you know, I think once you see a lot of these games, like most of it blends into the background. Like, I don't know if I need to describe every Pascal like spin move, you know, or Fred pull up three. Like I think people kind of understand, but there's certain plays that really stand out. Like if a Thad Young forces five straight turnovers, like that's pretty notable. And, you know, you kind of want to go through your notes a little bit or even watch some film. Because there's a little cheat code there. You know what? I take a 5-minute break. I can go on the NBA box score and just like look at the film a little bit. And sometimes I kind of try to do that just to make sure that, because, you know, it's the memory recall is not always perfect. But yeah, I appreciate that.
It's pretty good. We were marveling at that yesterday. Before we look at, you know, the future here with Pascal Siakam back and how it changes things, quickly, just to look back on the sample that he did miss, how in general, I don't know if it's a grade, I don't know what it needs to be in terms of evaluation, but how did they fare without Siakam, and I guess how it sets them up now that Siakam's back?
You know, I think in hindsight, they did as well as they could. The only regret is probably that Atlanta game, which they should have won, absolutely. Not just because Scotty missed a layup at the end, but because they were up 8 with 2 minutes left because, you know, all they had to do was defend for 3 seconds in overtime and not give up a layup wide open. I know, I'm not over that game, honestly.
No, it was like heart-wrenching.
That's one of those where you don't need the memory recall. Like,
no.
It's just like seared into your
I'd
mind, like, how did they lose this game? Yeah, but it's like outside of that one, like, I think they did all right. Like, I actually think that first off, I think the players deserve a ton of credit, right? The guys who were available kind of stepped up. We got a great Delano Banton performance to beat Detroit, right? Like we got, obviously Fred was great at moments, emerging as a key piece during that time. And he even started over some of those guys, even when they came back earlier this week. And so, you know, you kind of needed that though. You needed Malachi to give you something occasionally, Jeff Doughton. And I think, you know, the big thing is just, turns out Masai and Bobby, they're pretty good at their jobs. Like they actually did put a lot of talent on the team. And, you know, without Pascal, it was hard to see them generate offense because it was a real struggle. But OG kind of stepped up for you on that front. And when you really think about it, to go 500 in that stretch or slightly above is pretty impressive. Now, it did coincide with a weaker point in the schedule. But at the same time, like, they had to sort of negotiate their way through that because it wasn't just Pascal getting hurt, but it was also Precious was out and Otto Porter went out. And then there was a big flu that went through.
I think we're going to reconnect with Will. A little choppy there. He's probably...
there were signs that we were losing him.
It sounded great, though. It's like, he's definitely connected with our internal connection.
No, that's not just the phone. I want to ask him about Siakam and keep going on the Siakam discussion. But also, we always hear, like, it's a coach's... The coaches secretly like when there are injuries, when there's a different task or something that they got to figure out, something that takes them out of their normal routine. And I feel like this one... These absences above anything else, especially when it comes to Nick Nurse, because it seems like he would especially love that kind of thing.
That's right.
That he really was able to learn a lot about his team.
And like, he opened up a world of possibilities. He could do some tinkering and things that maybe he wasn't able to explore.
The man started Wancho and Thad over Scottie Barnes last game, and I know it's he had great reason to do that, but I just feel like, especially with basketball, especially with Nick Nurse and the Raptors, because they are such a positionless style team, that... It was really good for them that this happened.
We often talk about this in a multitude of sports, hockey as well, is when you have to do some lineup tinkerings, blender, you find ways that there is chemistry that maybe you wouldn't have had that opportunity before. And when it gets to playoff performance, like sometimes you need to make those adjustments. Mm-hmm. And if you've done it previously, November, December, you know that those things can find a way to work.
Yeah, we got Will Lou back on. I don't know if we want to finish your Siakam point there, but we were just talking about Nick Nurse and how, you know, sometimes coaches almost welcome injuries or adversity because they can learn more about their team. I wonder if you think that this opened up a world of possibilities or just a way of thinking and looking at his team entirely differently, or at least at the fringes or margins, now that he's got to see his team have to deal and have some success without Siakam for a long time and Fred for a long time and in different absences as well.
Yeah, I think to the specific question, Nick was actually asked about this pregame one day and he firmly said, like, no, I don't enjoy this. You know, normally what my day as a coach looks like is I'm making plans and I'm watching film and I'm going through walkthrough and like the tactical part of coaching. He's like, my days are just spent like updating, like being on a call with this guy, being on a call with this agent, being on a call with this doctor. Like it was like, I don't know. He became this like hospital administrator almost, you know, like that was his job temporarily. So it just had so many injuries at once. But I think he did discover a couple of things. I think Thad Young, his ability to play five has really unlocked a couple of things for the Raptors. I think part of it was when Pascal was out, they needed somebody to come in and generate some offense for you. And I think Thad was able to do that. He was able to set up other guys as well. And I think it's not a surprise really that Nick continues to try to find ways to get Thad involved with that starting group. Like even, you know, we saw the last game when guys got back, he was still in that starting group and he was still making plays. And there's something there. I think he was pretty confident in Wancho at the start of the season anyway. He just didn't get off to like a super hot start, but we're starting to see what he can do a little bit. And then the rest of the roster kind of figures itself out. Like when Pascal comes back, everyone could just slide back into the regular roles and they look good. Like I thought that Cleveland game was a great example of just like your main guy's there. OG can be a secondary guy. Fred can be a third guy. Scotty can fill in wherever. And the whole team plays defense quite well, especially when they're not sick. They, you know, and it just all made sense.
And Pascal's return was, I think, extremely promising. I mean, he had the hype video of the century, Oscar-worthy trailer that he put out before. He lived up to expectations. It looked like he didn't really take, you know, any steps backwards at all. Are you encouraged with the, you know, the limited minutes he played, obviously with the minutes restriction, but his return to the lineup on Monday and what that might mean moving forward?
Yeah, of course. I think the one thing you just didn't want to see with him is, you know, he had put in a lot of work at this offseason to improve his game. And I think he was taking a level up, and you just didn't want to see a disruption of that. And when he came back, it was, I mean, it's not even that big of a stat line. I think, especially in the NBA now, we're so accustomed to seeing like ridiculous lines. Like guys go off for 40 points all the time in this league. And, you know, sometimes you look at 18 points, you're like, yeah, that's fine. I don't know. When you watch the film of it though, like there were a lot of tough shots that he was making, and he was very confident with the way he was going about it and drawing fouls and putting the, you know, the Raptors in the bonus. Like there was a sharpness and a fluidity about his game. And, you know, even as compared to some other guys who came back after missing less time, like for example, like Scotty missed less time. Right. And when he came back in, he looked a little bit more rusty than a guy like Pascal would, you know? I think this is the whole season really is just like seeing what level Pascal is on right now and how far that can sort of carry the team. It's not to suggest it's a one man team, but at the same time, like he's just so clearly the best guy, you know, far and away. And when he comes in, you could tell, oh, there was a huge rebounding gap missed. Like he grabbed 11 rebounds in 30 minutes. Like he was their best playmaker as well. You know, he's able to draw so much attention and kick it up for threes. And all of a sudden the Raptors go from like habitually shooting in the 20s for three to like hitting 43%, I think, on Monday. Like it's not all because of Pascal, but at the same time, like he does create such great looks for these guys, and that's just how the team should be able to play from here on forward. So hopefully, knock on wood, everything's good with the team. But you just want to see a consistent run here with Pascal in the group, because I think, you know, when you look ahead, like there are some tough games coming up, but at the same time, like the Raptors are a very formidable team when they're healthy.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, the best thing about Pascal coming back is that he's back and performing at the level, the top five level, maybe that he set out for himself, but what it means for everybody else. I wonder who you thought couldn't be their best self when Pascal was out. Like, who does this benefit the most?
Probably, honestly, yeah, because definitely Gary. Gary really struggled to get his offense without Pascal during that stretch. I think he was like down to maybe like 17% from three or something, which that's like less than half of what he should be shooting from three. And look, some of that also coincided with, you know, he had some health issues of his own and you know, whatever. Sometimes, you know, shooters go cold for a little bit. It's not necessarily all because of Pascal, but I do think that he plays really well off of Pascal, and you know, he wasn't able to get the same shots. The rest of the guys, I mean, like OG, you know, needed to create a lot more offense, but I thought he actually did that quite well. You know, there's things that you look at where it's okay when he drives, you know, can he avoid the travel, and then can he avoid the charge, and then can he finish in the paint, and if he shoots the mid-range, can he actually, you know, find the right touch on that shot? Like there are issues there, there are questions there, but that makes sense. Like that's the first time he was trying to be asked to be a number one option this year, and normally he's not asked to be that at any point when Pascal is in. And then, yeah, Fred, I thought Fred, you know, mostly Fred just kind of did his thing. Like, he was also sick, and mm-hmm. he still is recovering from that flu. But, you know, some games he's really able to get it, and some games he's not. You know, we know kind of what is expected from Fred there. I mean, in terms of the rest of the guys, I don't know. I think the rest of the guys just kind of stepped up and filled their void. But I think probably the biggest impact was Gary.
All right, looking ahead to tonight and moving forward, Nick Nurse was a bit coy when asked about starting lineup maneuvers and having Scotty Barnes come off the bench. We talked to Alvin Williams yesterday, who said, you never know, like it could be something they do look forward to adding into their repertoire. Is that something you see Nick Nurse, you know, doing more than just the next couple games when he's still got minute restrictions on some of these players?
Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll see. Like, I think the first game back, it did make sense, right? Because if you want to limit their minutes, for one sure. way you do it is you sub them for each other. Like, for example, like, you know, Scotty came in at the 6-minute mark and then Pascal came out. Like, stuff like that. Like, it's like pretty easy to like limit their minutes by sort of swapping them for each other. But at the same time, I do think there is a genuine desire for Nick to see some of the different groups and how they would perform in a starting role. And, you know, I think it's not been that big of a secret that Gary has been struggling. You know, I think Nick...
I mean, he called him out defense, pretty publicly, too.
I know. It's a classic Nick Nurse move, you know. And every time he calls a guy out, it's always about the defense. And so I think Gary has kind of actually stepped up on that front and shown more effort and energy. But at the same time, it's not even just about the defense. I think offensively, there is a case we made that, like, you know, sometimes we look at the Raptors' regular starting five, which is Fred, Gary, OG, Scotty, Pascal, and you're like, well, it's great. Everybody can score 15 points. The thing is, everybody in that group is trying to score 20 points. And so it's like, well, you know, is there enough ball to go around with that group? Do they need someone to sort of balance it out? And so I actually do think it's interesting to see how long Thad can stay in the starting group, because he really is just there to, like, help other guys. Like, it's not to say Thad can't score, and he does score. And especially when you're playing five, you're going to be around the basket all the time. Like, you should be trying to at least look for some of those shots, which he does. But he's able to play a pick and roll with Fred VanVleet and give him an option to play with. He's able to sort of finish more consistently down low than let's say, Precious or Christian, who both waste a lot of chances at the basket. And, you know, he's able to, you know, pick cutters out, and he's got a good chemistry with OG as well. So it's curious to see, like, you know, and also gives the Raptors a little bit more size. You know, the funny thing with the Raptors is, like, they have all forwards, but usually in the starting group, they start their two smallest players in Gary and Fred. So when you swap one of those guys out with a 6'8 guy who, you know, has the veteran strength to at least hold off some centers, it does at least improve your size overall as well and sort of put the Raptors closer to their identity. But to be honest, my thing is, like, I think the Raptors can win with Gary in the starting group. I think they can win with Thad in the starting group. It's just sort of whatever rhythm works best for the team. And I think if the players are all professional about it, you know, and Nick is obviously able to clearly communicate with these guys and manage expectations, like, it should just really be about finding the right formula for the team. But then again, you know that, you know, starting is a sensitive subject for a lot of guys.
The Raptors show airs 2 p.m. every day on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, which means, Will, you've been dealing with the same problems that I've been dealing with, which is trying to watch soccer while broadcasting live. I know that you've found a way to get some World Cup viewing in regardless. So I wonder, and this is the last one for you, which team has sort of captured your attention here? Which team are you most interested in here with, you know, wrapping up match day 3 and, of course, heading into the knockout phase?
Are you talking about just about today's games or just in general? Like,
just in general.
For the tournament. I mean, look, I feel like people kind of are sleeping on France. They're really, really talented as an attacking group. Obviously, like, no one should sleep on the reigning champions. But, like, you know, I think that the headlines coming in where it's like, Kante's hurt and Pogba's hurt. And then you go to camp and then Benzema's hurt. And you're like, damn, there's so many injuries. France has so much talent. I think they have the two best wingers in this tournament in Mbappe and Dembele, who's playing at an amazing level. Giroud is a very clinical finisher, and then Griezmann at this level is just so, so good. So I've been really enjoying watching France. They haven't had the toughest group, I'll admit, but I think their scoring talent is just so irresistible to watch.
France wraps up its group stage against Tunisia at 10 a.m., so no conflicts there. Will, enjoy what's left of the World Cup, and we will chat again soon.
All right, thank you.
That's Will Liu, host of the Raptors Show with Will Liu. 2 p.m. every day, Sportsnet 590.
That's when you know you made it, when you have your show named after yourself.
I thought they might sneak yours in there. The Fan Morning Show with Ailish Forfar.
Featuring
and co. And co, yeah. It's not company, it's one person, but you could go and co.
Will Liu is also our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
Sorry, I scrolled up.
I know, no worries. Let's always here for the Don Valley reads.
Last chance to get a Wake and Rake submission in. We'll do the Wake and Rake after the break. The award-winning, not award-winning, but cashing, bet cashing Wake and Rake. We'll get to that after the break.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. That was us last night. Hitting all three of our bets. Depositing some money into your bank accounts. Little midweek cash.
immediate withdrawal?
Maybe.
You're in and out. You're just accepting service fees. You're just...
I have never had service fees.
I just let it simmer.
Yeah, but then you see it there.
Because we could go on a little 10-game losing skid at any point here. But not tonight. It doesn't start tonight.
I'm red hot. All picker winners.
3 for 3 at the World Cup yesterday. There's a buzz.
All right. What do you got today,
then? We're buzzing.
We got 4 World Cup games. Tunisia and France and Australia and Denmark kicking things off at 10 a.m.
I only have one bet.
That's fine.
And we're going back to the well with the World Cup. I'm going to continue to try to bet the World Cup.
Okay.
Through the wake and rake process, through to the World Cup final, December 20th, I believe. Anyway, so we still got about a month to go here. But my pick today is Denver -1.
Denver? I didn't know they were in the World Cup.
Denver.
Holy crap.
Let's start this again.
What an elite country that they have their own team.
My pick in the wake and rake
is so good
is
at football.
Denmark. Denmark -1 over Australia, the Socceroos.
Ooh,
so there's a chance that we push here. I think a 1-goal victory would be very, very possible in this spot for Denmark, which hasn't exploded offensively yet in this tournament. But I've been fade Australia since the beginning. I will continue to fade Australia. Denmark needs the victory to qualify. They may need goals to qualify. So I'm going to trust on them to put 2 in the net, win 2-0 over the Socceroos to continue this hot streak. Denver.
You know, the Denver is playing tonight, the Denver Nuggets. So if you want to bet on them, you got a little Denver on the brain.
The wake and rake.
11.5-point favorites over the Rockets. So -750 on the money line. Seems like a lock. Maybe we'll put Denver in the wake and rake.
I think
Denmark.
We might have to.
All right, I love it. Locked in there. The other 2 matches today, Poland and Argentina at 2 and Saudi Arabia and Mexico at 2. We do have a wake and rake submission from the World Cup today for me to read. 2 of them. We have Corey from Port Hope. Whew. Good morning. I love Mexico today versus Saudi Arabia. Bit of a juice taking Mexico money line at -160, but it's as close to free money. I love when people say free money. You can get.
I got to say, I hate this pick.
Oh, Corey. Poor guy.
I don't like it one bit. Mexico's been really bad. Really bad. And Saudi Arabia beat Argentina.
They are all getting Rolls Royce Phantoms.
And maybe they're fat and happy with those Rolls Royces, but I mean... I think Mexico's done. I guess they could probably still qualify, but it has not been good for Mexico. It's been a great story for Saudi Arabia getting the win of the tournament so far. And at -160, we can't count on Mexico to score a goal at the tournament yet. They're going to have to score a goal before I'm laying -160.
And don't you have a bet against Mexico, too?
I have Canada scoring more goals than Mexico, so I'm hoping that it stays on the goose egg.
Okay, so that's 1 World Cup pick. In the text line, we also have my wake and rake pick, Antoine Griezmann, over 1.5 total shots. I got him at +100 last night. He's now -125.
Yeah, I mean, that's not on target, I assume, because that's a bit rich for shots on target. Tactically, I couldn't tell you. I mean, France, it's just kind of an avalanche with them. But if he's not the first or second or probably even third option from a shot-taking perspective, so I don't know if I love it.
We just got 1 more in the text line. France to win and both teams not to score is +110.
I mean, Tunisia looks really, really limited. I was considering the over, but then I feel like you need France to score 3 times. What was the number? Minus what?
+110 for France to win and both teams to score no.
Oh, so that's France to win and nil.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm. Let's be honest. I'm going to be playing that.
All right, Justin hits 1 soccer bet yesterday. Now he's the expert. Ha ha, go Mexico. That's Corey from Port Hope rebuttaling
Have you seen Mexico play at this tournament?
Corey from Port Hope.
It's been really bad. Real bad.
My parents live in Port Hope, so I got to ride with Corey. Okay. Those were your only wake and rake submissions from the World Cup. Let's move to Raptors. We have Raptors lines. Raptors on the road against the Pelicans. Mostly a healthy team back as we just teed up with Will Liu, and back in the mix, the wake and rake pick is OG over 2.5 steals and blocks. This hasn't been automatic. In fact, he's missed 4 of the last 5, but it's plus money. My theory is that because he took on more of an offensive role with Pascal and Barnes out, now he's back. Spicy P has taken over what he's needed to do, and it's a good chance to capitalize on plus money. That's Jag and Scarborough.
So I'm kind of glad to hear that four out of the last five have missed, because we haven't been playing
yes,
it. So maybe we've missed a little bit of a dark spot here.
You know why, though? Because I never had player props up because they didn't know who was playing
exactly.
on this
it
team.
It was pretty difficult to bet on the Raptors over the last couple weeks here.
But
I like it.
It's plus 145.
I like it. It's one of our staples.
I might be going back to the well for this in my selection.
You're taking Jag's selection?
Whoa. I might be.
I like it. I think at plus money, too, it feels like a good leg.
And he did mention that everyone's roles have shifted now because Pascal's back in the mix. Everything kind of settles. So.
And he didn't hit it last game, but he was awesome defensively.
All right.
Locking up Mitchell under 8 points. Mitchell might just be able to protect the ball. I'm not sure what his turnover to assist sort of ratio or how prone he is to mistakes, Donovan Mitchell. But OG shut him down.
All right, a couple more basketball here on the text line. Morning, guys. Giovanni from Brampton again. Wow, great win last night.
He's
hooked.
He goes one for one and he's hooked.
My best bet for today is going back to the NBA. Kings, -4.5.
Light the beam.
And they are 10-1 against the spread in a great bounce back spot at home against an East team. And the Pacers are coming off a high and have not been playing good teams. You know I love the beam. The light beam, not the metal beam. I could be interested in this, Giovanni.
I'm going to leave that handicap for you because you're the Kings expert. They are not on my radar other than the beam.
Beam. Okay, one more. Two more basketball picks here. B. Hall. Morning, guys. The Knicks really beat up on the Pistons last night. Yeah, first of all, the both of the texters in that had that Knicks pick, they won by 30.
What were the names? We got to, like, they've earned a little credibility in my eyes because that was... an absolute
it
romp.
Was a lock of the century. B. Hall says the Knicks really beat up on the Pistons last night. Going with another NBA pick tonight, Clippers +6.5 in Utah. The Jazz have lost 5 in a row.
Utah's a tough place to play. Kawhi's still Kawhi.
I don't love that one. Sorry, B. Hall.
Okay.
I love that you texted in, though. Jay from St. Catharines. Anchor picks from tonight's Raptors game. Raps Pelicans over 224.5. Raps getting back to health, and Pelicans are also a good team. Jay.
It feels like there's a chance for a high scoring game today. This, if you don't go with Jags or if we don't pick Jag, there might be another Raptors parlay within this that we could go to just for fun.
All right. So that was all your basketball. Now, obviously you got the Toronto Maple Leafs at home against the San Jose Sharks wearing the reverse retros. I mean, you got to think tonight history could be made. Mitch Marner, if he gets 2 points, overtakes the lead for the longest. Oh, no, it's games. He'd tie it. He would tie it tonight.
Matches the point streak, right?
Yes, yeah. He would match the point streak with Daryl Sittler and co. But you got to bet over 1.5 because the books know. So
books know. You can't get a half point.
So Mitch Marner to get over 1.5 points is a little bit of plus money, +120. But it's going to get 2 points. Tonight's game against the Sharks, I expect to be high scoring. So does the text line. Let's read a couple here. Well, guys, I'm closing up my business. I've won 2 parlays in a row. $57 last night, thanks to the Kraken. I've found my calling in life. Time to hang it up and focus all my attention on sports gambling. Let's take the over in the Sharks-Leafs game. Matt Murray versus Aaron Henry Dell. Even if Murray gets a shutout, there's no way Dell isn't giving up 7-plus goals. Pretty sure he was working in a sawmill last week, and he's named after a computer.
Jeez.
I'll be in Section 105 at the game tonight if anybody wants some free betting tips. Disclaimer, to arrive before the second period, my bets get a bit crazy after a few wobbly pops. That's Matt in Toronto.
Okay, so the first of some other support as well for the Leafs Sharks over.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep reading a couple more Leafs Sharks over. Big Mac, Leafs Sharks over. Leafs are rolling right now. Offense is hot. Sharks have Dell starting from the AHL. A 4-3 San Jose result. First time these teams played.
He's got the over 6, so I guess there's a push opportunity if it's not 6.5.
Take a look if it's changed. You want to do that?
Sure.
Okay, so those two have the same align, but here, Ty and Stouffville. Morning. On this day, Mr. Crab's birthday, getting that money is priority number one. The Sharks just shut out Montreal and are... in the 6. Toronto's playing more defensively, so I like the under. P.S. I was under the weather for a bit, but I still rode with you every day. Thanks, Ty.
Yeah, -127, so we get a nice price on the over, but when there's dissenting opinion, we usually go the other way.
I don't like it. Logan Couture has 6 goals, 9 assists in 18 games against the Maple Leafs. Frankie Woodbridge, just a stat
more of a
for
stat
us.
Than anything
appreciate
else.
Appreciate a stat, Frankie. Maybe he means pick something. And finally, good morning and great job, Justin and Ailish and the listeners. We're all over the board with winners yesterday. Keep it rolling today. The theme for my picks this week so far have been to go with who's hot right now and look no further than Mitch Marner. He's on a 17-game heater, and I don't see it ending tonight against San Jose. Take Marner over 1.5 points at plus 120. Juliana is sad that her Warriors couldn't pull it off against Dallas, but is happy that her pick of Curry over points hit. Nice. Tonight she says, take the Raptors. With most of the injured players coming back, it's a great spot to take Raptors money line. It is a coin toss.
So as I see it right now, it's Raptors money line, the OG over steals and blocks, or the Kings 4.5. We still got 2 legs we got to insert here, both yours and the anchor. I'll let you take it from here.
All right. My anchor pick. Of course, I got to go with the late game because I'll be up Swiffering and unpacking items.
Maybe hedging after Denmark.
I'm picking the Oilers on the puck line over the Chicago Blackhawks plus money. The Blackhawks are an atrocious franchise. They've lost 8 straight. Most of them haven't even been close. They rank in the bottom 5 in goals scored, have allowed 76 goals against. And Connor McDavid is going to come in and absolutely steamroll this team, especially because there's, you know, there's a couple other big names on the other side of the ice. And, you know, it's like a little all-star battle. One's in his prime, one's both are kind of tiptoeing out of the limelight. So I just believe that they will just roll over the Blackhawks.
And yeah, the Blackhawks might be who we thought they were. Like, they started off hot, but things have not been good. And if it's points night for the Oilers, they cover the number.
I'm locking in Oilers on the puck line. -1.5 is plus 110.
Put the anchor down.
It's decision time. As much as I love my Light the Beam team, I got to go back to the well with an anchor from our Toronto Raptors game. It's going to be OG over 2.5 steals and blocks from Jeg.
This is going to be a big wake and rake.
It's going to be a big money wake and rake. You know what? Let's go big or go home here on the back-to-back wins.
Okay. Lock it in.
OG over 2.5 player or steals and blocks is plus 145. Parlay that with Denmark -1 over Australia and Oilers on the puck line. Your wake and rake today. +851.
Mm. We're getting cocky.
That's fine.
One win and we get cocky.
I'm okay with it. I've been winning.
No, and it actually sets up for if we get through the first two, especially with the 1.5, you can figure out a way to maybe juice it up a little bit more, have some fun with that late game. So I love it. +850. We got Denmark.
851.
851. We
that
got
one
Denmark.
Makes a difference.
We've got OG getting back on the steals and blocks train at 2.5.
All 3 sports again.
And the Edmonton Oilers puck line.
And that worked for us yesterday.
Let's do it.
All right. That was your Wake and Rake for Wednesday, November 30th. We're going to take a break and we'll tee up Sharks, Maple Leafs, Raptors, Pelicans, and a little wraparound of something to do with the Blue Jays as well. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. Justin and Ailish, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Everything Raptors before and after the games. The Raptor Show with Will Liu. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Fan Morning Show with some devastating news. Boffo comes in every day and gives us Timbits, right? Oh, sorry, donut holes. You know what I mean. Those
you
donuts.
Can say it. I mean,
okay,
it's synonymous with
Timbits,
Canadian culture.
Whatever, okay, sorry.
It's there.
Free promo. And he gives us a 20-pack of Timbits, and they're looking empty. But so you look at the Timbits, and they're so good. You just,
So small, like, what's one more?
Right, and so we've had quite a few during the breaks. And I just said to Justin, how many do you think equals like a donut? And I think we said like a 5
we're
equal
like
a donut.
We're like 4 and then we're like, nah,
yeah,
it's 5.
Five.
It's
like,
5.
Look at the size of them. I just looked it up and we've both had the equivalent of at least 2 donuts.
No, we haven't.
Yes, Justin.
Combined, yes.
Yeah, we've had a lot of.
I've had 1 donut.
We've had a full donut or 2.
I've had 1 donut.
But you got to keep that in mind because they're so cute and they just. Like the one, the two bite brownies, you don't think about it. You have 15. You've had a whole platter of brownies. So
yeah.
Just a disclaimer to all of you that have the box on your lap on the DVP right now and you're woofing down Timbits. They do add up to actual donuts.
It's so easy to get about 8 to 10 down if you, if you're not thinking about
What's the average serving size? Like when you buy a box of 20, you probably...
You want at least 6 people in that, in that 20 pack.
Are you kidding? 6
you
people?
You want, ideally. No. Or you're having 2.5 donuts each, which is too much. 2.5 donuts
is
too much.
It's funny. I always kind of feel like a little bit like not the best when I leave here because my stomach is full of coffee.
I mean, it's not an everyday thing.
Well, I'd say 3 times a week, 2 times a week it brings them in.
No way. No way. Not to diminish what Bafo's doing. I mean, this isn't like, it's not like we're... You know, they're feeding us grapes during the break here.
Fanning us with palm leaves.
Dropping Timbits into our mouths.
I just said to Justin, let me try to throw one in your mouth. And he's like, no, that's not fun.
I did not say it
I
like
thought,
that.
We have the cameras on all the time. Wouldn't that be good content?
No.
So
you'd miss
boring.
Anyway.
Anyway, Timbits do equal donuts. Keep that in mind. Don't get portly. All right, the Toronto Blue Jays, we mentioned, were in the news for... a multitude of reasons.
We've been teasing this all show.
Okay.
What's going on with the Blue Jays?
It's good. It's not like, you know, they made a blockbuster deal. But former New York Yankees captain, American League MVP, Don Mattingly, reportedly in talks to join the Blue Jays coaching staff.
Mattingly, get rid of those sideburns.
Yeah. That was a big joke online, too. According to multiple sources, apparently he joined a couple... New York Post reporters, Joel Sherman and John Heyman on their podcast and said that, you know, so first of all, he mutually made an agreement to leave the Marlins at the end of the postseason, which seemed like, you know, okay, it's time to move on. Doesn't seem like there's any bad blood there. But he said, quote, one team in particular really talked to me and really talked to my soul of what I like to do and see a value. And it's been very interesting in, to me. And that's your Toronto Blue Jays.
I think this is interesting.
Certainly.
For a variety of reasons. I mean, he comes with pedigree. Obviously, he was at the helm for the Dodgers, you know, in recent years, which means he's been involved in elite-level teams, moved on to the Miami Marlins, hasn't worked out maybe the way that they expected it to. But I think he comes with pedigree.
Oh.
And John Schneider...
Not many have as big of a pedigree as him.
Yeah, and John Schneider... doesn't have pedigree. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you're inviting potentially the person that would easily step into your position if things go south under your watch. Like that's, I feel like
interesting you went that direction.
I don't know if this is like a Schneider thing, if this is what he wants, if this is the Blue Jays want. We don't even know if he's going there for sure. But if they bring in Don Mattingly, you don't have to look around for a capable manager if things don't go well. That's all I'm saying.
He brings decades of experience, and John Schneider has that as a weakness.
And John Schneider's future was a talking point this year. He did sign, what was a 3-year deal?
Yes, right after the season ended.
There was a little bit of a wait,
okay,
wasn't there?
Okay, certainly I think they were waiting for the next round.
Francona.
I think they
Tito.
Were, yeah, sure, I think they kicked the tires, but I think that they were also, let's not lose in dramatic, embarrassing fashion and then sign our manager one day later.
Okay, you think it was an optics
thing? I do think it was both. Okay, so Don Mattingly would bring, obviously, decades of experience, a maturity to leading a bench.
Sure.
A level of respect and accountability. And the players would need to respond to that.
Why do you say all that? Just because he's got a decorated past?
Yeah, and I think that he's well-respected, too. And I don't, that doesn't, I'm not trying to say anything negative about John Schneider, but he's new and he's doesn't have the proven MLB history or track record yet.
So there's like, what does a manager do? I feel like that's become like, I don't know if it's less
we
important.
We have really great
it's
managers
a,
here,
it's a
though.
Thing we all, it's a thing we always talk about. It's a, like, what is, I mean, for baseball, like lineup
of
decisions,
course.
The computer makes it. What do they actually do? Is it intuition? Whatever. I'm less positive what a bench coach does, to be honest, but I just know this is another potentially powerful person in the room.
I think he's like a accountability clubhouse guy first, like veteran guy that knows what it takes to win. And this Blue Jays team doesn't have that yet. Like,
okay,
they don't know
you
what
got
it takes
a real positive
to...
spin on this.
Oh, yeah. If it's not Gibby.
If I'm Schneider, I'm just like, okay, we're bringing in a real guy.
Yeah.
Bringing in a real guy to be beside me. That's interesting.
All right. Well, people are saying that wait to see what happens to the home run jacket.
Oh, he's a bit of a curmudgeon. See, that's the thing. I don't know
much. Burst into flames.
I don't know much about Don Mattingly, to be honest, in terms of managerial style. But if that's like the first response, it's like, okay, maybe he's going to be keeping people in line a little bit. I don't know. We'll see how it all works out.
And
too early to make judgments.
It is. And with that new stadium, you got a new face on the bench. Maybe new players.
New outfielders, yeah. New bullpen arms, ooh. New start. Like,
it's a whole new
transaction
team.
Season has slowed down a little bit here.
Yeah. There's meetings coming up, though.
They've all left Vegas and not much
happening. They're recovering from Vegas still.
Morosi's still pumping out the content for us, though.
Anytime Morosi gets in front of a camera, he's got Blue Jays on the brain.
We got Morosi on the brain.
I wonder
here.
If he's on our like extended payroll. Like it's like Morosi, like float something out and get you on the show, and you know we'll put your content everywhere. We should have him because he's like literally one of our insiders.
He's probably just pretty well connected in
we love the
Blue Jays organization.
All right, well, something to keep your eyes on, Blue Jays fans. We'll be first to tell you when my guy,
unless it breaks after
Donnie comes, we'll jump back on. All right. You wanted to touch on Davey's stuff one more time?
Well, I gave my opinion. I wanted to know if you wanted to give your opinion just okay. on where we're at here. Like, you don't have to. Mm-hmm. Me and me don't have an opinion. But I'm just saying, and my opinion is not just like Davey's.
Yes, of course.
It's the inexperience thing. I think everybody's showing it. Everyone involved in this is just showing a little inexperience. You got to go through it. You got to go through your rookie season. Mm-hmm. At some point, this in a lot of ways has been the rookie campaign for Canada on the world stage. There have been issues. Herdman has made some mistakes. Davies, if he took the penalty away from Jonathan David, it was a mistake.
What do you think that he...
That was outlined in Cloak's article that he made that decision. And Herdman allowing that is a mistake. Lots of mistakes, lot
and
of inexperience
being shown. And the mistake of keeping Ateba Hutchinson out when asking him if he wanted to play in a World Cup game at the 55th minute
the
when he was
comments.
Certainly slowed down and they were getting exploited on that side.
I think there's other things, I think media, I think commentary, I think our fandom, we showed inexperience by believing they could beat a Croatian team. My first instinct was, we're naive. I was naive. I believe something that was never
was drinking
going to happen.
The Kool-Aid.
We drank the Kool-Aid.
But that's fine because I'm
so
a
Kool-Aid,
fan that
Kool-Aid
wants...
being consumed everywhere.
I don't take it as...
But it's not just hopeful. You had to believe.
Yeah, and that's okay. Maybe I was hopeful 80% and believed 20%. But, like, that's the beauty of being a fan. Sometimes there are underdog stories. There's, like, a vested interest of being a Canadian citizen and loving that this team made it to the world stage. And seeing that personally as a moral victory, yes, we can't always, like... be proud of moral victories because at some point it'd be nice to get real victories. Like as we know with some of our Toronto sports teams that are moral victories, great regular season, great awards. What have you done for me in terms of hardware? I think it can be both. I've been extremely proud of this team, but I can also emphasize that there's been mistakes and inexperience. And now with the interesting narratives of what's going on with Alphonso Davies, you know, as the person, and there was obviously an article that got a lot of heat mm-hmm. yesterday, which I didn't specifically agree with. But
inexperience,
yeah.
So that's okay.
I just think
let's all grow.
I just think tomorrow is a really important day to end this on a positive note, get
it could
a result.
Change everything.
And if they win tomorrow, we come on Friday and we're like, the World Cup was a success.
Then
they,
maybe
they
we have
won
the growth.
A game.
Maybe we have the growth we were looking for.
And if they have an embarrassing performance or it's just meh.
Then we got work to do.
Then we still have work to do.
Across the board, we have work to do. Everything and everyone involved has work to do over the next 4 years to make sure that 2026 isn't like 2022.
That's tomorrow. We'll tee that up. 10 a.m. Canada-Morocco final game of the World Cup. But tonight, you got San Jose Sharks in town against the Toronto Maple Leafs, 7 p.m. on SportsCenter. And then the Toronto Raptors on the road against New Orleans Pelicans at 8. Both teams favored in tonight's matchups. Let's see if we can get another Toronto parlay win and a Wake and Rake. That's it for the Fan Morning Show. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow morning.